Blog Talk Radio.
It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. It's been too hard living, but I'm afraid to die. I don't know what's up there beyond the sky. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will. I go to the movie and I go downtown. Somebody keep telling me don't hang around. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will. Then I go to my brother. Hey, brother, help me please. But he winds up knocking me back down on my knees. Lord, there have been times that I thought I could last for long. But I know a change gon' come. Oh, yes it will.
And that is wonderful, Sam Cooke. You know, it's a tune that is always pleasant and feeling good. Thank you for tuning into the program today. I want to begin with a thought. I think that there are people that listen to me. I'm listening frequently. And there's a reason why they do. I feel certain that nobody's going to spend their time to listen to me when they don't like what I'm saying. And if they hear something that they like to hear, you know, it may not be long-lasting for them. It doesn't keep them going. Maybe for the moment, but, you know, not worthwhile listening to me. But some people think they have a reason to keep listening to me. You know what I mean? We are all at a different mental state, and we know what we need. And therefore, we will keep on keeping on, spending our time the way we want to do it. Because people who have a quest for something, they know how to get at it. Now, I don't know if you've heard me talk about, I have a cousin. He's a minister. We all grew up in the church. It so happens that this cousin of mine, very close to me, my mother's side of family, and you know, he's a cousin that I feel very close to, and we talk frequently. He's a caring person, and I don't know a lot about he and his church, but I do. I used to go to a place that he had access to preach, but many years ago now. Now, since we have been talking, and every now and then, we get into a little scripture. I must tell you this. You know, it depends on how much we value a spiritual life. How much we would like to have control over ourselves, and we want to taste essence, ingredient. That makes us feel worthwhile. I can tell you that it's not an easy thing to pursue knowledge about the universe and humanity, because it's going to be too hard to think about when you don't even know, you don't have a mental tool on how to think about it, how to get knowledge out of your thinking so that you feel energized without anybody talking to you. Because we know that life is a circle, and every day constitutes that circle. Life is a repetitive thing. Otherwise, don't wake up tomorrow morning, because much of the same. You know what I mean? If life is not repetitive, well, what do you do every day? All right. I want to get to the point where I'm going to illustrate something to you. And it is about the way I got away from the Bible. It had nothing to do with anybody, another human being. I didn't go to no process of somebody explaining something to me, specific thing that remove my respect for the Bible. It owing to something I was thinking one day about, why can't people in the world get along? You know what I mean? Well, I'm finding out Well, I found out that I contributed to the thought that was in my mind. So it's like I asked a question and I listened to my brain talk back to me. You know? And what I mean by that is that when you either silently or you say it out vocally, but you have the thought in your mind and you're pondering, you know, seeing how the world is in turbulence and confusing, and you think about, oh, all of these searches everywhere you go and see them. And you think, for as long as the churches have been around and the power of Jesus' blood and things like that, that it should have given us, give the world the power to live, I mean, away from the kind of confusion that we know is going on every day. From in the home with kids until they grow up and they go to school, they're fighting until they go to work and they fight. I mean, just don't do well in life. And so, while I was walking and thinking about why people don't get along, is it possible for them, for us, to get along? So, I thought to myself, well, yes, it is possible. Humanly, it is humanly possible for every single people in the world, as long as you're not crazy and you don't, you can't handle information, you know, but for all conscious-minded people who have some sense of caring for other people, I think all of us can get along. And we wouldn't waste time doing things that we know not profitable to us. All right, so what got me to start to make a change? What caused me to make a change in my daily thinking was, from I said, well, if I want to get along with people, I can get along with them if I want to. So I decided, well, okay, since people can get along together, then what I need to do is to read with a different attitude. Because up to that point, I was like everybody who think loosely, talk loosely, you know, nothing special about reading. You just read and anything and you read. But you don't find anybody who would take you up on the way you read and what happened when you read. You don't really have anybody doing that. People talk about general truth and stuff like that, but nothing nailing down the way you read and what your reading is doing for you, you see? But that day, that thought that I was thinking, I came out of that thinking with an attitude that, okay, when I'm reading now, I go have to pay close attention to what I read and make much of what I read. that changed my life from right there. Because I started to read, and I don't read. I'm not a great reader, and I don't like to read, per se. But I want knowledge, though. That is something that affects me. I want to know things. So it was my burden. It was not a joy. Like I say, I don't like to read. But if I want to know something, I don't have to force myself. And if I'm in the act of reading with my attention, I'm going to get to know something. Now, I think a lot about life don't mean anything except what you think it is. You know, and I know that life only lasts for a while because I grow up a child. I see the older people die out and we young one, you know, although we don't think very seriously of the counted time that these old people spend to become old, and we are young. So there are things to bring us to a higher level of reasoning and purpose. And therefore, I do get into the scale, the mental scale, and weigh my life. I don't like to feel worthless. I want to have a value, my life to have a value. And if there's a way to give my life value, if you didn't hear my voice very well, my mic was this position, okay? Okay, I bring it up now to where my voice should be at optimum range. So I am saying we have hormones, we have emotions that go on in our brain, and if we don't think and develop what makes us change direction, you have to think and develop energy that will turn you into direction that you approve you should go. If we don't think to stir our energy that will lead us into the right, better way of life, we will find ourselves doing a whole bunch of foolishness. Because your mind will go empty of that energy inside of you that would move you to do something that makes you feel better. But what if we do not think in that sense and with that purpose? Think about things that will bring you some results, different than if you don't do the thinking. And if people are doing thinking for you and try to tell you things, that's nice. But what about when you're not doing the thinking yourself too? You know? So the more we get ourselves with more conscious attitude about elevating our thinking, I tell you, have the light in it, it's going to do you good. So I'm telling you now that there is a skill in someone thinking issues, any kind of issues. There is a skill to that. All right. There is a skill to knowing the difference between right and wrong. And if you want to elevate your life, you will have to think silently to yourself and making distinction between this and between that. You have to do a lot of thinking to yourself to, whenever you get into certain situation, you know what to do. You pre-think the thing before you get into a situation. Do pre-meditation and work things out right from wrong into yourself where nobody else is able to do it for you. So, listen. Now I am being exposed to people who are having a hard time to develop a sense of knowing negative from positive things. Know when something is going to set you back than when it is making you go forward and be a better person. All right. Have you ever thought about wanting to be a better person and thought about how you can be a better person? Maybe you have, and maybe you have done it. I think people out there have done it. I am not the only person because, you know, I was reading a post that somebody wrote on one of my blog, video blog, right? And there is somebody wrote that they like what I was saying because I am saying some things that this person sound like a male. Could be a male person is saying that they have been thinking the same thing that I am talking about. And he's so, you know, worked up about it because what? He has been thinking the same kind of things, the same context of the issue that I am talking about on the video. And this person didn't say a whole lot of things, but cover what explains the situation of what I am talking about and what they have been talking about to themselves. And said on one occasion, this person begin to tell somebody about what the mind was thinking inside of the head. And they like was turned off by it. Okay? So based on his surrounding, he doesn't have anybody to really like talk to and to communicate what he's thinking. So you have to swallow it back inside himself and, you know, make sure that he don't offend anybody. So he was saying now he know for sure that he was thinking right. You know, like he gets some affirmation because here is somebody talking about it in the context that he was thinking about it and say, okay. And know for sure that the mind that they have is a good mind because anytime you as an individual begin to think like that, anything that you think about and you go about and you hear other people who are thoughtful and people who are learned, I don't say I learn a lot, but I mean, I think too. I do thinking and I do reading and stuff like that. I get to know a lot of things, you see, and a lot of things where a lot of people who read better than me having a hard time to figure out, I say. And it's not that what I say, you know, is I don't speak because I want people to think that, oh, I am, you know, I am this, I'm good, this great thinker or something like that, or I know it all. That's not my attitude, because I'm not headed in that direction. No, I want to be good, but I don't want to be good for somebody else. I want to be good for me. Okay? So I don't have anything to show off on. I am somebody who, more than all, mindful about the way I think and my attitude. That's what I'm into. You know what I mean? So I don't think of somebody else when I am thinking of me. It's not, at times I will think about someone, but not in the context of what I am talking about when I'm trying to, like, fix myself, right? Because nobody cannot fix me for me. All right. Listen to me. My cousin is a pastor. And I'm telling you this because, you know what? I think it is a special thing to talk about and for people to be mindful of. Because like I say, you may be thinking all of your life, 50 years or more, and yet still you never come up with anything special. You know what I mean? More than everyday chores. All right. But break into your cycle of thought and think about certain things that you don't know much about. Begin to probe, right? Begin to probe, and things that you never think about or didn't know will begin to float up into your mind. And you begin to examine if you want to know things in your brain, a lot in your brain. And then if you hear anybody talking and you hear what they say and you try to make sense of what they are saying. So you're not farting in nobody's business. This is just something you're doing all to yourself, right? And then you will find out that when you start to think and wise up yourself, you will fall in the company of people who go and notice that, you know what? What, you think too much, they will say. You think too much. Yeah, there are a lot of people, when they hear you talk, they will think that you think too much. I mean, when are you thinking too much? Anyway, I want to come to a technique, though, that is involved in changing yourself. How do you change your attitude? How do you see if your attitude can take adjustment? This is big, big science. May I talk right now? I mean, talking science, right? Word science. This is serious stuff. Now, if you're living your life all this time, and let's say you are a church person, thing, and you feed off what the sermons them say and reading your Bible and things like that, but you are reading a whole bunch of lies in the Bible, and you don't realize a lie in there because you become so fanatical about the belief of the Word of God. But your reading will never tell you, say, but you know what, lie, this is a contradiction right yourself. Because you don't believe that the Bible have lies in there. And the Bible has lies more than any other book, I want to say. There may be other books like it, but the Bible is a special book in the sense that 66 books, and the purpose that the Bible serves, why so many people go to church and believe into the Word of God. The Bible is a special book, but the Bible is a disaster to civilized thinking. To the point where somebody hear me say that and say, this guy is crazy. What do you mean by? Because they think God is behind the Bible. And there's no God behind the Bible at all. And it wouldn't take me long to convince you that there is no God in the Bible. Because what? You have not considering things that are said in the Bible, that God is perfect. And quick, in no time, I can prove that no God in the Bible at all, what the Bible talk about, is perfect at all. Right? And maybe one of the first thing I'm going to tell you is that if God is perfect, no, before I jump on God, right, I would use you first. Are you perfect? You say, well, I'm not God. All right. So why is it then? This is a good answer, you know, a good answer this I'm going to get. When you tell me that that you are not God, right, I'm being tricky. You know this? I'm being tricky. I ask you now, is God perfect? You say yes. I say, okay. All right? Which means, is this a setup? Because everywhere you go in the Bible and it's about anything about what God is all about, it must be perfect, right? Of course. Now, life can full of a lot of things that can drive up your energy to where you really feel good about yourself. And when you think out things and get them right, can drive your positive energy up that you're proud of yourself. But what if you can't work out anything for yourself and things like that? You go spin around every day, you read the Bible every day, and you don't know anything more than what you know before. So I'm saying to you now, you have to separate yourself from that type of mentality where you are reading, say, the Bible, and you're not, your life is not moving. If somebody should ask you a biblical question, you're not able to answer them and tell them anything that would be sustained. Something that you read and you find out and you get some knowledge and you can move on with it, and you can set somebody straight with a certain fact and things like that, and they can't change what you say, because logic is flowing all over what you say. But if you don't think logical, you cannot do that. So now look at the way I'm going to come across there. Now, certain things that we are not taking attention. We're not paying attention to certain things, right? When we read, when we talk to people and stuff like that, there's certain things we don't take account of that we should. But if you start to pay attention to words, pay attention to the way you use words and what you get out of when you use words, there's a special way to use words. So now when you tell me that God is perfect, and I am going to prove to you that the God in the Bible is not no God whatsoever in no history, that God don't exist. The people who write the Bible, and we don't even know who write the Bible, and we should, okay? So watch me now. I'm going to ask you, who said God is perfect? I'm going to say, are you perfect? And you say, come on, Tim. You don't expect me to say that I am perfect, because I am not. And you know it. So why are you asking me? Well, it's for argument's sake. I'm not really trying to be funny or not like that. I ask you that for a good reason. I'm not fooling around. All right. I'm going to illustrate to you now by saying, all right, so you know God is perfect, right? Is it that you believe it or you know it? And you say, I know God is perfect. Are you talking about the God in the Bible, right? But you never see God, you never know God, or nothing like that. So it's really believe, you believe it, right? It's not know, you know it. But that is a minus against you. When you never see, you never read in history nothing about God, you only know the Bible, you read it, and you have the thought to say, it's nothing more than knowledge. That I have been praying to God and whatness about God, And you say God is perfect. And you read it all over the Bible, God is perfect. But watch me now. I begin to say, all right. Now, you think that somebody else asks you that, you just walk away because you don't know what else to think to make no argument, reasonable argument. No, you don't know, right? But let's say somebody who is thinking higher than where you are, they say, well, and all right, you are not perfect. And you say God is perfect. Now, why are you not perfect? Well, you're probably going to say, well, you know, Adam and Eve sinned. So without getting into an argument, you know, and you lose your point about Adam and Eve, because what you think about Adam and Eve is not a historic thing at all. It's not a civilized thing. But you believe that, and that's where you catch. So now, since now we agree that you are not perfect, right? Not talk about me. Don't talk about me, right? Because we are all human beings, right? Good. So watch this now. I'm coming back on you now, you know. We settle on this person is not perfect, but they are a believer, a Christian. A Christian that believes that God is perfect, okay? So now I'm going to say, well, do you know what the word perfect means? You know the definition of perfect? And the person is going to say, yes, you do everything right. Right? Do everything right. Now, I am wrapping a rope or a noose around this person's spiritual neck because this person don't know what they're talking about when they're saying the Bible has a God in there and that God is perfect. They don't know what they're talking about, but they think they do. I'm trying to show you what is going on your inside, and you may not know what is going on your inside. But if you internalize your attention and begin to think, well, you can find a lot of things to make you wiser. Open up a view about something that a whole bunch of people have wrong, and you find out much knowledge about that thing. Okay. Well, I'm going to ask you, now that you say what perfect is, God do everything perfect, I'm going to say, well, all right. In the Bible, it says God is the potter, and we people who they create, who God create, is we are the clay, right? And it says that the clay cannot tell the creator that he's foolish, you know, like he's not perfect or not like that, right? You are making something. You have the power over what you're making. Let it be whatever you want it to be. All right. So we're getting down now to how we're going to find out you're using your brain to think. If somebody is saying that God is perfect, but they are not perfect, and then I'm going to say the thing that nobody, well, not, I mean, the people who do not know, it's a whole bunch of people don't know the scheme that I am working now, but your brain is able to do things, and when you realize that your brain can do certain things, you don't lock up your mind against certain things people say because you want to unravel. If something is not true, you want to be able to unravel it, right? But if you're not a thinker, you won't be able to do that. So I'm going to test now if what this person said to me about God is perfect, Jesus is perfect, I'm going to say, all right, so you think that everything God makes is perfect, right? Yeah, of course. Everything God do He's perfect. Jesus is perfect. All right. So I'm going to ask you, so do you think that God would make anything and turn around and say, sorry, make it? Watch it now. You watch that. And some people may say, you know, throw away the fact that they just say God is perfect. Because this person may remember that the Bible said that, you know, God make Adam and Eve and they sin against him and stuff like that. They might, the brain might start to look at a whole bunch of stuff. Know that I am asking about what a perfect God can and cannot do. So you're under the scrutiny now to be lawyer for God, the perfect God. You're going to want to now continue to maintain that God is perfect. So I'm coming after you. We're using words. You using words, the same words, right? So now I say, so I need the answer from the person now. Can God do things and say he's sorry he did it? Because God is you know, he's immune to imperfection. God can never do something and turn around and say, I'm sorry, this. That is for human who make God, immortal God. If you say God is perfect, you can't make excuse at the same time when he does something and say, he's sorry. You understand that? Do you understand that? No, some people elevate God above, you know, when God does something and say, I'm sorry, and things like that. Things that God should have known, God don't know it. Yet still, you believe into that Bible, I mean, to in every way. You exalt God above error when he makes it. God error, he has power to do whatever he wants. And perfection don't read like that. You see, that's why a person who is dumbed down with fanatic Christian views, it's dangerous because your brain will never function the right way it's supposed to. And they will tell you in the Bible, 1 Corinthians 2, that your mind must be unnatural for you to understand the things of God in the Bible because they are spiritually discerned. You bring me the place in the Bible that you are going to vouch for. It is perfect. And your mind must be unnatural for you to understand it. Now, why the thing in the Bible, everything in the Bible, is perfect? No lie. And yet still, the Bible is telling you that your mind must be unnatural. Considering your mind is not a piece of cloth, it's not a piece of wood. It is a very, very intangible place, where you can't count what is in your mind in any kind of way. No instrument can count what is in your mind or see a word in your mind. Nothing like that. Right? So that you, the words I'm using, you can't say it's red or blue because you can't see the word I'm using. No, my friend. What I'm saying is not mocking God. No, but the way a Christian thinks, when you talk like this, they think you're mocking God because they're going to make God be a drug dealer on the side of the road there and everything like that. That's what God come down to in the Christian view, because a Christian cannot come up with correction for what is contradictory when you find him. Christians don't think that anything wrong is written in the Bible. And that's not true. All right. So now, I'm coming up, cousin who is a pastor. So me and this person now going to wind up in a disagreement because they have a mentality, a Christian mentality, that don't read Civilized. You know, if you're reading Civilized, you will know when something is wrong from when it's right. And you can grow mentally. But you won't grow if you're a Christian, real Christian, and you're dogmatic, listen to all kind of foolishness and believe it, and you can't distinguish between right and wrong on a number of issues, and to a certain dimension, you can't do it. You just can't, because you are taught to believe foolishness and go the wrong way with your thoughts. So, when I say to you that, oh, okay, God make mankind, right? In Genesis, and God said that it was good. You read that in Genesis, right? God make heaven and earth in 6 days and rest on the seventh day. And God look upon what he created and say, it was good. Adam and Eve was good. Adam and Eve turned out to be people who were naked and people who don't have much of a sense. So if you say God make it, Adam count the cattle, them or call them name or something like that. So them are writing in the Bible that God have some sense where he make Adam and Eve with a little bit of sense. But when you check it out, Adam and Eve didn't make up with much of a sense, and they were naked. Remember, the Bible tells you that they're naked. So you think in a civilized sense, God would be civilized if he's perfect. But no, the people that he make in the Bible, not civilized, and they're naked, and they're full. That a serpent is going to come there and turn them idiots. You see, and a whole bunch of foolishness go on with God and his perfection and these people that he created, he can't manage them. Because Adam and Eve begin to go on with a whole bunch of foolishness before they even have a child, before they even know to have sex. Well, they knew to have sex when the serpent came, because that's what did happen. They eat of a fruit of sex. And that's why God took them out, because God realized that sex make you wise. You know what I mean? Your first sexual encounter, it open up your eyes to the world, because life come from the sex, and you become impregnated and you have a child, and you know you are a product of enlightenment, a person. That's what you are. So that's why if a person is healthy and well and they never have sex, you have some psychological problem. A healthy person is supposed to have sex. You're created for that. So you just know to use good sense. Don't just do any and anything with your body. So what I'm trying to say to you is, when a Christian is saying that God is perfect, it's a lie. That they don't know they're lying. But when you are deceived about something, you don't know that you are deceived. Somebody decide to deceive you, tell you a lie. That's deception. So when you have a place like church that bait people to come in there and come accept the Lord and salvation and stuff like that, you think it's true. We are born in a society telling us these things, and they are not true, but you don't know no better. And you're not going to know any better either for a long, long time. That is if not forever. You will never have good sense as a Christian, because you're going to get backed up against the wall in a lot of things, and you don't know the positive way to deal with it, because you're taught a lie about God is perfect. And you're going to think that you're blaspheming against God when you do this and that. And God needs to be whipped a lot more than you. I mean, the God that you're thinking about. So this person now, he's saying God is perfect. And I say, well, but God knew what he was creating, and he said they were good. So how is it later on they are sinning, and he didn't realize that they were going to sin and sin against him? He didn't know that. But what perfection is about. So right there, you see, you're going to the junkyard. Your brain is in a junkyard because you believe God is perfect, and God is far away from being perfect in the context that you're reasoning about God. There's no God in the Bible, but yet still, St. John 4:24, God is a spirit, and they who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Look, Christianity is the biggest garbage can. All right. I hope you find something in what I say. Because words that bring out actual energy for you, it preserves you. It keeps you from going into ruin. Two and two cannot be three. Four and four cannot be five. It doesn't work. So if you don't understand that, you must depend on words and not what people are preaching and hallelujah and get off in a spirit. You don't use those things for logic here, because that going to lead you into tragedy. And, well, you love God so that you can't do without God. But if God turned out to be a lie, how are you going to know? Somebody be telling you, says, this is about God. And you read it and you find out it's not making any sense. And guess what? Because you right away, you cave in because it's God's word. How you know it's God's word? It must be true. God is perfect. Why God turn up to be not perfect? And they're telling all kind of lies about God. So when your mind is shift off from words and the consequences of words, what you commit yourself to, and you confuse because you're not using words properly. Remember what I told you with myself? I started to think, and the voice is saying to me, I must read and notice what I am reading. That was the key, and I said, my life has been changed since then. So you're talking, and you don't know what you're talking about, and I know about what I'm talking, and I'm going to use words and defend myself. And you can't. All right. There's a thing about neutral your mind, the neutral position of your mind, where you must not be biased, I mean, wrongly biased against things that you shouldn't be biased against. In other words, we need a general sense of bias. You ought to be able to be biased against something, but not be biased against the entire world. That's where we go wrong. If you be biased against almost everything without any discretion, you're not going to prosper that way, because it's not the way it's supposed to go. You must be neutral about something until you find out something wrong with it. That's the way it's supposed to go. So be neutral about something until you find out about it. I got to fill up. Done away with this person now, because now I'm going to say, but God didn't make her and them perfect at all, because God should have known that they were going to sin. Especially there was nobody else, but it's a serpent, they said, come. And that don't make no sense either, but just deal with it like it is, right? If whether a serpent come or no come. But the point is, God make Adam and Eve, and they didn't have any sense. They were naked and all. It doesn't show no civilization at all about it. And nobody could write that except the primate hominid European white people. Nobody don't write that but them. Okay? So what I'm trying to say to you is, we African people who are buried down into church concept, because your mind is biased against what is called anything secular. You got to be spiritual. Because you have no sense of distinction. If somebody bring to you a problem that you believe about God, and they show you, say, it doesn't make any sense, you can't tell. You're going to tell them, you go on, I believe in my Jesus and believe in God and stuff like that. You're not going to take me away from my God. I believe in my God. Because you, one thing is going on there. You hold believing an action that you take to believe and say married to certain attitude, and you will forever hold this thing to be positive, to be true. And somebody is using words to show you that what you're saying is contrary, it's wrong. And you will not accept it because you're a Christian. And Jesus that you think died on a cross for you, no go so. But you're not going to know that. So, listen to me. You are a Christian. Listen to this one now, because I'm coming to my cousin who is a preacher. When, as a Christian, aren't you accustomed to the Old Testament prophets and the prophecies? Yes, you do. As a child, I grew up with the Bible and the Old Testament different from the New Testament. Old Testament is under Moses and the olden time that they say God dealt with the Israelite people. And African people were the Israelite people in the Bible 2,000 years ago, but now only white people, European, are Jews now. All right. So what I'm trying to say to you now about my cousin. I've been talking to my cousin a while, and I asked my cousin to tell me why the prophecy of Isaiah 9, 6 and 7 verses, why the fulfillment about a Messiah who should come has not been fulfilled in the New Testament. He can't answer to it. And I asked him like quite a few months, and he didn't answer. I didn't like harass him to tell me. I asked him a couple more scripture that has problem too, like Matthew 2, and wise men follow the star to see the baby, to give the baby frankincense and myrrh. And none of those things are true. If you read the scripture and read it with sense, you'll find out that it is not a real story you're reading, okay? And there is this other part of the scripture where St. John 6:15, where the prophet Isaiah said the Messiah would be a king sitting upon David's throne. He would be a prince of peace. And then in the New Testament, where it must show a fulfillment of the Messiah come and do those things. And it is not written in the New Testament as any fulfillment. And yet still the world is full of millions or billions of people who believe that the Messiah come, because we sing Christmas and we have Easter and everything in the New Testament set up as though the prophecy fulfilled. And there is only one thing into that Isaiah chapter and those two verses that indicate or show that there was any intention to write the fulfillment. But them started off with a child was born into those, you know, those two verses. Unto us a child is born, a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Right. Well, in the New Testament where Christ is supposed to sit on the throne, they're supposed to write that as a fulfillment in the New Testament. Because the Old Testament is written like about 1,500 years, they say. A lie, them I tell. But that's about how long they say before the New Testament was written, the Old Testament wrote, right? So what I'm trying to say about the brain that we have and the way we think, if your brain don't understand when something is said and you have a timeline, your brain must be conscious enough to keep that sense that, okay, it's going to be 10:15, I need to be at this place, right? What happens if somebody is telling you, come on now, you need to get ready and get to this place for 10:15, right? And you are telling the person, no. I have a lot of more time, because they have on for them watch with backward with wrong time, right? Their head is backwards. They're not reading their time right. And they're telling you while you're telling them no, and their clock is 1 hour backward. They didn't forward their clock. Now, what I'm trying to say to you, as a Christian and as a leader, you are going to a church with a leader, a Christian leader, a teacher, and you have me one side, I give your preacher a hard time not able to answer to civilized question about the Bible, because you believe the Bible, so tell, you're going to be dead. I believe it will lies them in the Bible where you say, hey, amen, hey, amen, hey, amen, too. So it means that it's definitely wrong with your head. You see what I mean? And I mean, psychologically wrong. It's not a joke. It's not a joke. You read the Bible, you're supposed to understand the Bible like when you go to a college or some school and you know how to read the textbook them where them give you to do your work. You're supposed to know that and correspond with what is said in the book. Otherwise, you can't pass your exam. So the way we read the Bible and go about living and communicating, it is our brain is sick. Can't you see that? Because a child go to school like we go to church and go Sunday school and listen to preachers. That child is not going to come home and learn anything. No. But look at how the system is set up. You can go to school and learn, go to university or college and stuff like that, and pass your exam and everything. Because guess what? You follow what those books in the school say. But the Bible, you don't follow it. Because you don't know those things at all to be true. But you think they are true. You don't know when, for example, we're talking about Jesus is to fulfill the prophecy. And the prophecy not fulfilled, but you think that it fulfilled. By what? The lies were them writing in the New Testament. Because if about 3 or 4 things the Messiah must do, and they want to tell you that a child was born, and nothing else, they tell you that Jesus is arrested and he was given to Caesar, imagine all of these people that they said they take Jesus to and arrest Jesus. Those people should have been kicked out by Jesus. They shouldn't be trying Jesus, because Jesus is not in this, in the, Jesus is not in the Bible as one who's supposed to be arrested and put into prison. No, he was supposed to sit upon the throne of David and rule as a king, a physical king. And it never happened until this day. But yet still, people are singing Christmas carol, and they're telling you Jesus born was born on the 25th. And that is a lie, that is renowned as a lie, not no gossip. But yet still Christians sing Christmas carols and praise Jesus. So it means that something is wrong with your brain. And something is really wrong with your brain that I can tell you that it is true we brain damage and we don't know. 100,000 years ago. So now what I am trying to say to you and why I am spending so much time on talking about this, it is because something is really wrong with our brain and we don't know. So because you go to school and you learn and you come out and, you know, you can go and earn a good life and things like that. But you go to church. You go to church with a Bible that is not certified by anybody who say those things in the Bible are civilized history. The Bible is not a history book. It's something that stupid people them write and talk about salvation and about Adam and Eve in a garden and all them whole bunch of nonsense. It is the Sumerian history that tells us about the flood and everything and the Elohim. That's where we get the truth from. It's not a Bible because of the white people them write that Bible, and we don't know the history of the white people them and how white people come to be doing the kind of thing they do, and they are not human beings. They don't come from nobody don't really make them evolve. Okay? We don't know. So they turn out a fool. And they are now talking and stuff like that. And we don't know that. They defile us and put their bad blood inside of us. And over the past 100,000 years, our brain go down. And this is the problem that we are having, and we don't know. All right. Me and my cousin, we come from the country in Jamaica, where them have the little satellite churches them over there, the Christian church. And that's where I grow up. But I now start to read and find out things. You know, I was never under anybody again once I left the church. I was reading, and I didn't go to get out of the church because I want to go and do all kind of foolishness. No, I respected the idea of living good. I did. You see, I until this day, I don't want to go out there and live like I'm a fool, you know, and fanatical, sexual, lusting and stuff like that. No, I am in for living a clean, a good life. Yeah, I want that more than I want any sex at all. Okay, so I follow the whole knowledge of humanity, right? And anybody who despises the human sexuality, something is wrong with your brain, right? In our creation in Africa, we don't have any type of toxin, anthropology in our system for a man to have sex with a man. Okay? Homosexuality is not a part of the hybrid African people. And anytime you see, like, those guys out there preaching, African people, and they are accused for being homosexual, it happened because of these white people. The white people, they make up Christianity and create problem for the African people. And because we don't realize that something is wrong with us, and the white people come in, take away our money and everything like that, everything, land and everything that we have. And it's the reason why
You see them out there, all out them are Christian, and them have to register with the white people church and everything like that and say a government, A.D. and Adamani. And the whole thing is a bad bush. You see, and we don't know. I mean, useless now, I tell my cousin, ask my cousin, answer to these questions in the book. You know, when Jesus I tell lie in the Bible, right? Same, finish the work, he's going back to his father. He teach 12 disciples and tell them, go into all the world and preach the gospel until the end come, right? Now, when Jesus go back to heaven, him no enforce conversion on St. Paul, because St. Paul was a Sanhedrin man and he was crucifying, you know, persecuting the Christians. St. Paul didn't want to be no Christian, but they write that God, Jesus Christ, makes St. Paul a Christian. You see? And create a lot of problem as a 13th apostle, and he begin to kick Peter and the other apostles them around. St. Paul become the head of the apostles. It's a long time I noticed that, but I just think that everything was in the hands of Jesus. Oh, my God. But after all, reading, it was a lot of study that I was doing to find out that the whole thing is a bag of trash. Christianity don't give nobody any incentive to be a upright person. You can do any evil and you'll be a Christian, because that's what they were doing, killing us. In the early centuries, he's kill us Africans. So, my cousin now, we are talking, and I ask him about these scriptures that need to be fulfilled. You know, it's like my cousin like become a stone. You know, somebody who lose half of his senses. Because I said, did this fulfill? You know, was it fulfilled? And he can't answer. Yet still, he's going to step over and tell me that I must be careful how I talk about his Lord. So when he said that, I ask him, so what? Did the New Testament fulfill what the prophet said in Old Testament? My cousin didn't give a biscuit, whether or not it was fulfilled or not. Jesus is his Savior. So, you know, I don't know where the relationship is going to go. Because, you know, my cousin needs to talk to me, and we have a word conversation. Because, I mean, there's no way to deal with that. If it is clear that you go to school and you are reading the text and you're supposed to do a test, you have to know what you're reading there. If somebody tells you, say, something is there and you look and it's not there, you must know it's not there. So this is what I am saying now, when our brain is working this kind of way. The white people, them just kick us around, because all of the church what we make up is a whole bunch of, you know, it's nonsense. It's clearly, clearly nonsense. Church is not a good place. It's not a good thing and nothing for you to believe. It's not a object for you to believe in. Now, I know that, but Christian belief blind your mind so you can see things what you say. And it's hard to give up on what you believe in and you don't have anything else to do. Now, when I ask people, what is the difference between belief and knowledge? They fail to answer that, too. That's another thing. So, by and large, we have a brain that is poisoned. And we don't realize that something is wrong. When you're reading and you're not coming up and affirming what you read, that's a bad thing. It's a bad thing. So I want to thank you for tuning into the program. I wanted to tell you that check up on your brain, that if the Bible say something to happen and they're saying it's a Messiah to come, and you don't see the fulfillment, you cannot believe that. You're not to believe that, because believing in what you don't know is tragedy. It's a tragedy. Distinction between left and right. And you're a preacher. I preach to people in the pulpit. My friends, if you don't know when you're wrong, disaster is upon you. All right? So let me go forward with what I have here. Let me see if I have anybody in the chat room. Because sometimes I'm away and somebody come and I would like to interact with them. But I don't see anybody come in yet. Okay? So let's go on to... First of all, a little tune. Here's a little tune by Peter Touch.
Unfavorable financial condition. I am unable to cope with this financial situation. It's causing an inflation upon creation. I can't stand this no longer. The wicked get stronger. I can't stand this no longer. Cause the battle is getting hotter.
If you make one step
Okay, now, all right, let's get on to this portion of it. Life is something that, my friends, may feel on several times. Life is like tasteless, right? So if we don't find ourselves being affected by a certain consciousness of mind, if we cannot find a consciousness of mind to sustain our energy in place for us, I mean, we gonna go on into oblivion with ourselves. Because if you don't do something crazy that you're going to make you feel like you're alive, my friend, we will not come off to prosperous and fruitful life, okay? So, it's true for me and it's true for everybody else. A lot of people lose grip on life and don't know what to do with themselves, okay? And you can be driven to the point where you just want to kill yourself. You don't want that. You want to be stable. You want grace to abide in you, peace. And, you know, you feel content with living and fulfill good things, purpose, because life is full of purpose too. So, have purpose. All right. Yes, my friend. Yes. I tell you, my friends, I am at times disappointed, and it's not because of the world, it's because of the way my mind is working. You know what I mean? Because I have my ups and downs. Why is it I feel okay sometime and another time I don't feel? So it's about me, right? It's about me. Feel uplifted above foolishness sometimes, and another time I feel like I'm underneath them. You know, so there are times when I get to become enlightened and I see things and I love what I see about, you know, things in life and things. But another time it's like, I'm dry. All right. So I've been sustained quite a bit and kept away from that heat of fire that is trying to burn me up, you know. All right. I know what I'm trusting in. I know what I'm trusting in. And is the one who endure to the end, the one will reap, okay, the energy that is there to, like, give us this day our daily bread, right, and forgive us our trespasses, and be steadfast and hopeful that we will get a lift beyond our weaknesses. So let's see what we have here in front of me. Uncivilized Ward Wilson myth of Hiroshima is gay invader inquisition in America. And what this is about? This, I think, is a gay writer writing myth, foolishness about Hiroshima. Let's see what they have to say here. It's white people killing the African people. And it's like, because our head, no, I have to pay close attention to this thing because I didn't know, and I'm getting to find out, you know, that we are sick. African people are sick generally from Africa to where we are because we don't have a government because Africa is sick. Because these people take over government from and begin to kill us off. And there is nothing, no law. We don't have any law to back us up. It's not that we don't have any law now, but we're sick and our government is sitting there with the laws for us to protect ourselves and we don't know. It's a good thing that I'm finding out because I expect something to happen now. These people say they own everything we have and I found out that's not true. So they have to be confronted. They have to be confronted, my friends. So I have, extremely fascination with this. Things that I'm finding it out for all of us. Just identify what I say. Because things could not go the way it has been. It never looked right, you know? All right. Let's hear this. The world population has forgotten where the world history record in the beginning. Just before the human-like, not real human appeared on the Earth's surface. All right. Let's take a step from that. Yes. Just before the world record of in the beginning, just before the human-like, real human appeared, on the Earth's surface. When the first ape primate hominid appeared 3.5 million years ago. Now, without talking about the fact on fate, destiny of the 100 uncivilized, on the 100% uncivilized ape hominid, because let the world understand that nature and time are infinite elements. And without gray hair, right? Time don't have gray hair. It is, therefore, a simple thing to give an account for what happened to the first ape hominids of Africa, settled in Europe and Asia 1.5 million years ago. That's the account of them in history. You don't hear anybody talk about that. But I'm telling you, where are they today? Do you know? Of what historic wind that brought them thus far to date? How the earth has come to be full of the evil and explain terror, Nagasaki and Hiroshima, the first to roast civilization people. In this, we'll have a good sense of Ward Wilson ID originate from parent ancestry. Historians have long debated the moral legitimacy of the nuclear attack on Hiroshima and Nagasaki in the Second World War. But Ward Wilson, author of 5 myths, not history, but myths, about clear weapons, senior fellow at BASIC and director of the Ruthin King Nuclear Weapons Project, argues the bomb did not force Japan to surrender, and that almost 70 years of nuclear weapons policy has been based on a myth. Hear that? It's not making any sense to me, though. I see this as belittling the damage that the white people did on the African people. Chinese are African people. Okay? They are a ethnic group. They are hybrid people. You see? And they want to kill off all these old bunch of people and behave like it was nothing. It's myth where they didn't talk about these weapons that they use on the Chinese people. No, nobody was Chinese wasn't going around and fighting wars. I bet you that. History doesn't show that. You see? And these primates turn human, and they're hiding how they come to turn, you know, look like and talk like human beings. These white people are doing it while they pump the Bible out there to be converted and all that. I tell you what, I don't know if every one of us will get healed from our mental problem. Because the reason why we are Christian is because we have a mental problem. None of us would be Christian if it hadn't been for what they did to us with their bad blood, man. And today, the world has a crazy norm, what we call normal. These white people turn the world upside down. But the gods have a way to bring normalcy back
to the human world, okay, and make distinction between these sodomite primates, say they are human being, they are modern people and all that. We're going to clean up this place with the truth. Ward Wilson is a senior fellow at the Federation of American Scientists. You hear that? He's a faggot. You see what I mean? And when they prominence in the world to do what they want to do with and say they have law and all that, oh, everything go down the hill. Okay? How many of us they kill? Oh, my gosh. You can't count. He is widely acknowledged as a leading source of pragmatic arguments against nuclear. It's too late. Too late. All right, my friends. I do not intend to stay on a long time on this program here, not the full time that I usually spend. But as you can see, I come and I play two tunes, but I'm nonstop. I'm driving at certain points that we need to know. All right, so I have this link from Michael Tellinger. People are not even interested in the things that we are supposed to know. It's a bad thing. I mean, we are here on the planet like, oh, it's no big deal. We are here, but it's a big deal. It's a big deal. And I want to spend my time the way I perceive, you know, I am able to. And, you know, I cannot make anybody save themselves. We all will have to have an interest in knowledge of the world and ourselves. So anybody don't want to do that, it's up to them. And when the snare come and get them, it's up to them. No, nobody ain't going to, like, help you out. So I'm doing my best, my friend. What you get inside of you, that's what is going to hold you, man, and keep you in the right direction in life and make you be happy with yourself. So I have the link here with what happened in South Africa with the immortal gods, the first civilized immortals over in Europe, not Europe, but over there in South Africa, at the Abzu. All right, so I read you this little paragraph and hope that you will find some use for this information. And you can always come here, call me, and tell me what you want to say. And, you know, we'll help each other get along with, you know, the kind of enlightenment we are to have until our life is over. So get the link from the scientist, Michael Tellinger and his group of scientists that retrieve a lot of information before our time. Things were going on in South Africa, and the white people come in and they manipulate and prevent us people from thriving on the truth about civilization. Civilization is not what white people are all about. They are uncivilized, and they claim that they have laws to run the world. And I am going to prove it, that that's a lie. We have our kingship laws long before they come about. They just come here like start doing politics 109 B.C. 109 B.C., when they put the king down, okay? Now, kingship is what run the world, and how they come to talk about they are sodomite and they're making love to run the world. No, it's not true, and they're going to get out. God, why are they here? They have Europe to be. Go to Europe. Now, listen, it's about time we stop the struggling and get them out by, stuffing them up with the truth. Okay? And when they think that this place is there and everywhere is there, they're going to find out. No, let them go and go drop their drawers over Europe. Okay? That's what they're going to do. Because they can't live on the truth. Earth International Research Society welcomes our newest member, Michael Tellinger. Michael is a musician, author, scientist, and an explorer from Mpumalanga, South Africa. Michael has been making groundbreaking discoveries about a vanished ancient civilization at the southern tip of Africa. His continued efforts and analytical scientific approach have produced stunning new evidence that will force us to rethink our origins and rewrite three books. And this is a fact. Nothing is going to mean something to us until we are aware of what that something is to us. So I leave it at this, my friend. If you don't have an interest in it, we're going to die one day. We want to get to know, because the reason why we were created, we are not primates. We don't come from primates. Okay? We are sapien, hybrid people. And what does that mean? White people is not into our situation. They are going to leave our territory and go to their own territory because they are not humans. And we will prove it because the proof is here. Well, our brain been sick for some time, but look, I tell you what, there are those of us who are healed now and able to defend ourselves. So these sodomites, fucking batty white people, them can pretend as much as they want. We know them. We know where they come from. Okay? And we know what they are doing here. So it's going to turn all upside down and turn the right side up for us. And these faggots going to realize that, no, they don't belong in our territory. Nowhere on the planet. Nowhere is going to happen. The gods, they were here. They didn't have any sodomite problem when they were here. Okay? And therefore, the same power that they use to be here 450,000 years and do all these things, we are supposed to follow their footsteps. And that's how I see it. So, my friends, what is there to say right now? Let's, perhaps some people will feel good about this tune. Can see better now, get some information, and you can go work on it.
I can see clearly now, the rain is gone. I can see all obstacles in my way. Me. I'm lost without a cause. After giving it my all, winter storms have come and darkened my sun. After all that I've been through, who on earth can I turn to? I look to you. Searching for that open door.